Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. Say the words. Hard to interrupt the Beatles. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 31 years. I'm so excited because in studio today is Neville Johnson. He's the author of two books about legendary coach John Wooden. Coach Wooden's legacy as a coach is impressive enough, but it's his philosophical look at life and the terms he came up with and left us is even more impressive. His Woodenisms, be quick but don't hurry. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Put into words true expressions of how we should live our lives. And I can't wait to talk to Neville about the power of his words. And in a minute, I'll play a soundbite from Kareem, his star student at UCLA, who tells a story of Coach Wooden that's about something more power than what the Woodenism words were. But it's actually a story he's going to tell about what Coach Wooden didn't tell him. That said even more to Kareem about his power with words. It's what he didn't tell him. Wait till you hear this story. So I thought all week about where do we see the power of words in sports, in art, and in surgery. The most powerful speeches I've ever heard are from President Kennedy, JFK, his inauguration, his promise to get us to the moon, 1961, 1962. The words he used and how he phrased them are so powerful. It's inspiring to anyone who gets in front of a microphone like I do every Saturday to be with you. You're going to hear some of these iconic speeches. It's almost like Frank Sinatra and how he phrased the words, how JFK uses the words. And he does plenty of clapper visions. And he does plenty of Woodenisms as well. And his assassination forever changed America and the world. And my favorite singer-songwriter, Phil Oakes, put his life into a song in 1965, and one of the lyrics you'll hear is, "A man so full of life, even death was caught off guard." You can hear it right now.
It's not only for the leader that the sorrow hits so hard. There are greater things I'll never understand.
Listen, here it comes.
How a man so filled with life, even death was caught off guard. That was the president, and that was the man.
The most passionate speech, that was Phil Oakes, 1965. The most passionate speech I ever heard comes from Mario Savio on the steps of Sproul Hall in 1964. And his brilliant metaphor of college students as raw material and the university as a factory, it sends chills up your spine hearing the passion that he had in this speech. But don't forget the modern era. Rapper Jay-Z is quite adept at the power of words and how he puts them together. Being someone from New York City, when he and Alicia Keys did that song where he says, "I made the Yankee cap more famous than a Yankee can." Oh, my God. Here, I got to hear this. Listen to this. This is Jay-Z.
Catch me at the X with OG at a Yankee game. That made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click, though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling Africa been bought it.
We'll get into Jay-Z as well. And in surgery, the power of words. My teacher, Dr. Ranawat, taught me, Robert, the eyes don't see what the mind doesn't know. You have to study. You have to learn the anatomy. When I see patients, I tell them, I'm not going to replace your hip or replace your knee or your shoulder. You need new cartilage. I'm going to resurface it. It's not the old days of chopping the whole joint out. Resurfacing the joint. Just the power of the words and how the modern technology has changed everything. And certainly our clapper vision in sports got to be about J.J. Watt. He had his pec major, like literally the chest muscle, torn off the bone of his arm. And lo and behold, 8 weeks later, he's going to return for Houston to be in the playoffs. What is the clapper vision of repairing the pec major muscle? and wait till I talk to you about what the pec major muscle does and how it has your clavicle as a head, as an origin, your sternum, your breastbone, and your rib cage, three different places the muscle anchors to as it goes to attach to your arm bone so that you can bring your arm across your chest or lift weights when you bench press. But the coolest thing about this muscle is that right before it inserts in the arm bone from these three origins, the clavicle, the sternum, and the rib cage, it twists 90 degrees. It literally, if you looked under the microscope, the fibers look like a letter X. So here's a clap revision for the pec major. You're flying a flag like they did down south in South Carolina, the Confederate flag. So you have the flagpole is your arm. The X of the old Confederate flag that thank God they got rid of. Literally, the muscle fibers at the bottom of your breastbone, like that X, diagonally go up to the top as it inserts, and the clavicle fibers cross. And the reason this muscle is so powerful is because of this twist that it does as it inserts. And that anytime you see a twist, whether you're making steel, forging it, or you're making a muscle move, when you twist it, it becomes more powerful. J.J. Watt, back 8 weeks after a pec major repair, God bless the people at Arthrex, some of the tools that we have allows this to happen. Never could have happened before. All right, let's get into today's show. The power of words. So let's talk about John Wooden. Here he is, the man himself.
Make each day your masterpiece. I tried to do that as far as teaching, whether I was teaching English classes or whether I was teaching basketball, baseball, tennis, or whatever sport that I was teaching. Make each day your masterpiece. Yesterday's gone. You can do nothing about it. It'll never change. Tomorrow is yet to be. And the only effect you can have on tomorrow is what you do today. Today is the only day that really counts. So make each day your masterpiece. Don't expect great improvement. Just a little improvement each day, but a little each day soon adds up to quite a bit.
Here's a funny story from John Wooden and his great-grandson.
One of my granddaughters and her husband had one of my great-grandsons. They were out eating in a Chinese restaurant. And he opened a Chinese cookie, which they gave, and it said, be quick, but don't hurry. And he said, is this where Papa gets all his sayings on the fortune cookies?
And at 7:15, we're going to talk to the man, Neville Johnson, who studied John Wooden like nobody else, wrote a book called Woodenisms, and we'll get into his favorites. But let's talk about his prize student, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because this is what fascinates me the most. This is an entire show I put together with Steve Paulette about the power of words. But listen to when Kareem talks about what John Wooden didn't tell him. Let's get to some background of Kareem and Coach Wooden meeting.
I first came out here in March of 1965, a pretty cocky kid, very confident about my basketball abilities. And it was a very difficult time. The nation was in a lot of turmoil. There were a lot of bad things happening. The summer before I came out here, it was a really bad race riot in New York City. Here I am, ripping and rearing, you know, thinking about my basketball career. And the first thing Coach Wooden wants to talk to me about is academics. And he said, you know, Lewis, you have very good grades. You should do well here. And you should graduate. This is something I expect all my players to do, and I don't think you're going to have any problem. And, you know, we talk about academics, you know, for a good 20, 25 minutes, no mention of basketball. And I'm like, geez, what's going to happen here? One thing that he didn't understand was how racism affected people, affected black Americans. He really had no idea about that. And just observing the things that I had to deal with as we traveled together and went about the business of, you know, laying waste to the Pac-8. As we did that and he saw how people would react to me, it really helped open him up to a number of things about prejudice.
But listen to how Kareem says, well, he didn't know much about prejudice. And yes, he did. Listen to Kareem tell this story about what John Wooden didn't say.
There was something I found out about Coach toward the end of his life that I hadn't known that really shocked me. And it really is an indication of what his character was about. While Coach was coaching at Indiana State, his teams did very well. They were invited to the NAIA tournament, and the NAIA tournament was held in Kansas City. Coach got a call and said, your team did very well. We want you to come to the tournament, but you can't bring the black ball player that's on your team. Mm. And Coach Wooden told the guy, well, look, you know, we've gone through the whole season together. I'm not going to do that because we're going to stay together to the end of the season. So thank you for the invitation. And Coach hung up on him and didn't go to the tournament. So next year, Indiana State did better and had an even better record. And Coach Wooden got the same phone call at the same time of year with the same proposition. And Coach Wooden said, you know, I think you should know where this phone call is going. I don't think we're going to be able to come again. And before Coach could turn down the offer, they buckled down. They buckled in, rather. They gave in and allowed Coach Wooden to bring his black ball player. That was a blow for the civil rights movement. You know, at the very start of it, this is 1948, and I would have been very impressed when I first got here by that knowledge. Coach Wooden never ever talked to me about that because he saw that as something that he should have done, and he was only doing the right thing, and he wasn't going to try to get any additional credit for it.
How do you like that?
He had that type of character. Now, I would have been as impressed as hell with him if he had told me that, but he didn't tell me that. He let our relationship develop and grow in the way that it should. And that's the most meaningful lesson I could get from him, his integrity. Coach Wooden helped me understand how to live and how to become a better person every day that I was with him. And it made it possible for me to see the right way to do things.
It was the power of his words and the power of his actions. Where in art do we see someone like John Wooden? Here's President Kennedy.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.
Here's more.
Let both sides explore what problems unite us, instead of belaboring those problems which divide us. Let both sides, for the first time, formulate serious and precise proposals for the inspection and control of arms, and bring the absolute power to destroy other nations under the absolute control of all nations. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
No one could use words better than President Kennedy. So when he dies, the greatest singer-songwriter, in my opinion, Bob Dylan, great, but it was this guy, Phil Oakes, put a song together that was the president, and even outdid JFK with the use of words.
Oh, the bullets of the false revenge have struck us once again, as the angry seas have struck upon the sand.
Listen to the lyrics.
And it seemed as though a friendless world had lost itself a friend. That was the president, and that was the man.
Here's some more.
Oh, I still can see him smiling there and waving at the crowd. as he drove through the music of the band. And never even knowing no more time would be allowed, not for the president and not for the man.
Finally,
here's a memory to share, here's a memory to save, of the sudden early ending of command. Yet a part of you and a part of me is buried in his grave. That was the president and that was the man.
The power of words in a song, in a speech, in a coach, in a teacher, and the integrity you get. So powerful, as Kareem says, even when they don't even speak with words. We'll get into it, the Woodenisms, with the great Neville Johnson, coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. So excited to have in studio the great Neville Johnson. Who's this? Linkin Park? Eminem, that's right. The great Eminem. He knows how to use the power of words. I remember him being interviewed saying the toughest thing to rhyme was the word orange. And then he rattles off six things that sound like orange. Fantastic. We're joined today by the great Neville Johnson, who wrote two books about John Wooden. One called Woodenism, and another book about his life. Neville, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Appreciate it.
Talk to us. Why is John Wooden such an icon? His legacy. Talk to us about that.
Two reasons. The first one is because of his, they're not only unequaled, they're unapproachable records in basketball. During a period of 12 years, he won the national championship 10 times.
Wow.
He won the national championship seven times in a row. Ugh. He had three undefeated seasons, and it goes on and on and on. And then he, you know, is famous for the full court press, and it's now become a part of our vocabulary, which he popularized and improved every year. And then when Kareem came on board, he became an expert at the so-called big man. And how to handle that. And I was interested to learn that during that summer when Kareem was coming, he's talking to Wilt Chamberlain and other coaches handling tall players to figure out what's the best way of utilizing their particular talent. And then the famous story in, it was like 66 or 5, when the freshman plays the varsity in a game, and the freshman win, and the varsity had been the national champion the year before. So you knew that the dynasty was going to continue. So he's generally considered to be the greatest coach in basketball, and I think probably the greatest coach in sports as well, because of those victories overall in his win-loss record. But the second reason, and arguably more important, is that he was a brilliant philosopher who created this thing called the Pyramid of Success, which was a non-sectarian belief system on how people can improve themselves, and everybody who knows about it basically is a believer and follower in it. And simply put, it's this. He says that success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction, knowing you've made the effort to become your best. The key ingredients are enthusiasm and hard work at the cornerstones of the foundation, and at the top, the apex is competitive greatness, going after a great and difficult challenge. Mm-hmm. And there's other things. Lamortery calls it poise, confidence, fear. Poise, confidence, teamwork, being focused, honesty, faith, and poise, and mm-hmm. things like that.
Hmm. Very few people. This is the great Neville Johnson, who knows more about John Wooden than anybody. What's it like to be in the room with him? Is it just he just comes up with these, be quick but don't hurry, failing to prepare is preparing to fail? They just come right off his tongue? What's it like to be in the presence, in the room with him?
It's humbling to be in the presence of greatness. He is was fundamentally one of the nicest people who ever walked the planet. And he was gracious to everybody. And would talk to anybody. And, you know, there's a story his daughter tells of, like, you know, we're at the hotel and he will not stop talking to the parking attendant. And or another person sits next to him at a game and they have no idea who this person is. And he goes, oh, just another friend whose name I don't know. In other words, he just had that equanimity and was that way. And so he made everybody feel welcome. He made everybody feel welcome, and he was interested in what anybody else had to say. The other thing that I think people don't really know is he was extremely witty and was always trying to get a rise out of somebody if he could, but he never used a swear word, and he never drank.
You've put together a beautiful career in law. You've got people working for you. Be the lawyers and secretaries and receptionists, you know what it's like to put a team together. Same thing for me. I have 9-10 employees. I've been in practice 31 years. I know what it's like to hire people and be around them. The top of my list of most incredible things I've ever heard him do was Bill Walton talked about the first day you're a McDonald's All-American or whatever they called you, the best basketball player to come out of Texas, and now you're on the court his first day, and he tells these players, I'm going to teach you how to put on your shoes and socks. You're doing it wrong all these years. You became a great player, but you've been doing it wrong. Let me teach you how to put your shoe. And I think there's more going on there than just making sure you don't get blisters on your feet. What's your take on him teaching these incredible athletes and making it clear to them you don't even know how to put your shoes and socks on?
Well, everything about him was attention to detail. And he had everything mapped out. Another fellow who had written a book with Coach said, I went to his office one day. He was working out of like a Quonset hut at UCLA, and the door was shut, and it's like it usually wasn't. And finally I asked him, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going through every game and practice of last year to figure out what I could do to improve it.
Wow.
And the team last year, like, come in second place. He wrote a book, Practical Modern Basketball, which is a masterpiece on how to teach and play basketball, and starts off with the opening line, life is a united effort of many. And teamwork was particularly important to him. He said, which I thought was very intelligent, look, it's not the five best players who have the athletic ability. It's the five best who play together. He said, I took so many courses on psychology, I could have gotten a degree.
It's like Jimmy Johnson, who was a psychology major, and he was a great coach. I mean, clearly that's what it is. Phil Jackson buying each of his players a book. I remember Andrew Bynum being interviewed talking about, oh, my God, the coach got me a book to read for the summer. Nobody had ever done anything like that before.
You know, another thing about Wooden is that so many of our heroes are fallen at some point now. Maybe they may get back up and go forward and do other good things. And I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about politics and entertainment, whether they be actors, singers, or whatever. There is nothing about Coach Wooden that is derogatory or detrimental. And I did my best to find out if there was anything. And there wasn't. I mean, I'm trained as a lawyer. That's what I do. I try and catch people in misdeeds and lies and dishonesty, et cetera. No, he was the real deal. He walked the walk. And so that's why one of the reasons why we honor him so much is they're so hard to find somebody who has achieved that level of success and also has never been particularly subject to any major criticism, although there are some people out there.
The only negative I ever heard was about the booster.
Sam Gilbert, yeah.
Who supposedly did do things that, and he looked a blind eye towards that. Tell us what your thoughts about that.
You know, I studied that, and it appears that Gilbert was getting players jobs that didn't exist and buying them items, potentially clothing and shoes. Woodens said, I never had them in my life. I didn't want them in my life. And basically, what am I going to do? Mm. He had no ability. It turned out, ultimately, that Gilbert was indicted for money laundering involving drugs in the Bicycle Club casino in L.A., but they couldn't follow through with it because he had died 4 days before the indictment came down. So he's a mar on the record, I suppose, of UCLA, but I query whether he really, you know, had any impact on the program other than coddling, notably mostly the black athletes.
I want to play a soundbite for you and take advantage of the fact that you're in studio and tell us what you think. What goes through your mind when you hear Kareem talk about the coach?
Here I am, ripping and rearing, you know, thinking about my basketball career. And the first thing Coach Wooden wants to talk to me about is academics. And he said, you know, Lewis, you have very good grades. You should do well here. And you should graduate. This is something I expect all my players to do. And I don't think you're going to have any problem. And, you know, we talk about academics, you know, for a good 20, 25 minutes, no mention of basketball. And I'm like, geez, what's going to happen here? You know,
in today's game, Evel, it's a one-and-done kind of world. How would he have survived in today's game?
Well, that is the big if. Back in those days, you couldn't really get out of college ball and go into the pro ball. And so times have changed greatly. Specifically with, first of all, I want to say that he always referred to his players as student athletes. Mm-hmm. He told every player, you're here for an education first and then basketball. That's your priority overall. With respect to Kareem, I interviewed Kareem for my book, The John Wooden Pyramid of Success. And Kareem, you know, is a very taciturn kind of fellow who can be difficult at times in getting through. When the subject is John Wooden, he could not have been more effusive and appreciative and honoring of Coach. As for Coach, Coach says, I learned more about being a human being from Kareem than anybody else.
Wow.
You have no idea what it's like to travel with him and hear people say, look at that big black freak. And Kareem is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. So, only Wooden could have perhaps turned Kareem into what he became, such a powerhouse, like arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. Mm-hmm. And also Kareem turned out to be a brilliant writer,
right,
overall. But it was a love fest between those two and between Bill Walton. You know, I asked Bill Walton, I said, he was in his interview, he said, you know, I would go in the off season and see Coach every day. I said, why are you going to see your coach during the off season? He said, it was so much fun.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. We're talking to the great Neville Johnson. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Words of medicine, Tim McGraw. I tell my staff, the healing starts when you pick up the phone. I may be a surgeon with a scalpel, but the healing starts with words, picking up the phone. I'm joined today, we're so lucky, by the great Neville Johnson. He's written two books about the great coach John Wooden. What people don't really appreciate, Neville Johnson, is you actually didn't even go to UCLA.
No, I went to Berkeley.
How did this happen that you are living your life and all of a sudden you end up saying, I got to meet this guy and I got to study him and I got to write two books about him?
Well, in 1982, I was riding high because as a young lawyer, I had acquired Yoko Ono Lennon as a client, and I was doing a tremendous amount of work in, on the Beatles. And that was, I'd wanted to be a music attorney, and this was the apotheosis and the pinnacle, the zenith. And I was pretty proud of myself, but I saw the Pyramid of Success on somebody's wall, and I said, who did that? And he said, that was John Wooden. I said, the basketball coach? And I grew up three blocks from UCLA. And I said to myself, this is what it's about. This is what success is about, is this guy. And so I decided, just because I'm nervy, that I wanted to meet him. And somebody, I got his phone number and said, I want to come out and talk to you. And he said, okay. So I went out and met with him and learned more about the pyramid. And then I said, that's amazing. And when did you do that? He said, well, it's in my book. They call me coach. I said, oops. So I went and read that book. And then I called him up and said, I want to interview you. So I went out and interviewed him. And then I contacted him and said, I want to write a book about you or with you. And the pyramid, and he said no, because my wife, Nell, at the time, was very ill. So I did it anyway. I wrote the first few chapters, and I sent it to him, and about a month later, it came back redlined by him. So he gave me the authorization, and then it took me nearly two decades to get through it all. I interviewed hundreds of people, ranging from the top ball players to the managers of the team to the people he played against in high school, to the people he coached when he coached high school, his children, his brothers, historians, announcers such as Dick Enberg and Al Michaels, and many, many others. And, you know, Kareem and Walton and almost all the great players. And it was just the thing I'm most proud of doing in my life, because it was so difficult and there was so much information to put together. But it was so inspiring at the end of the day, and it's had a tremendous influence on my life overall.
People ask me all the time, Dr. Clapper, you're such a busy surgeon. You know, 12 hours of surgery on Fridays and Wednesdays and Mondays. I mean, I'm operating a lot, seeing patients. Why do you even have time to do a radio show every Saturday for 9 years? On page 27 of your book, Woodenisms, it says, according to John Wooden, you cannot live a perfect day without doing something for someone who will never be able to repay you.
Mm.
That's this Weekend Warriors show, Neville. I mean, it's just fantastic to talk to people through the radio waves. I'm never going to meet them, never going to see them. He's right. The fact that you'll never really see them, they'll never be able to repay you, it gives you a perfect day. Do you have a favorite Woodenism that you put the book together?
There's a few of them. One is, the softest pillow is a clear conscience.
Yes.
Another one is, the star is the rest of the team. Another one is, isn't it amazing how much can be accomplished if nobody cares who gets the credit?
I have a great soundbite of Vin Scully talking about moving into his apartment when he came with the Dodgers in the 50s to Los Angeles, and the very first person he met who, with his bags of groceries, he couldn't get his hand from under the grocery to open the door to get in. He heard a voice say, here, let me help you. It was his neighbor, John Wooden. Two iconic guys. I always think fondly about Dr. Buss, who said, when I take over the Lakers, I want to make them so great that when you travel anywhere in the world, people say, where are you from? Los Angeles. Oh, that's where the Lakers play. That's what John Wooden did for UCLA, did for Los Angeles, right? On the same level.
Yeah. No, when during the heyday, which would really be from 62 to 75 when he retired, he energized the city of Los Angeles. And we were so proud to live in this community, in this locale. Hmm. And I liken it to the way the Beatles were. You knew the Beatles, when they had a new album coming out, was going to be a masterpiece. And indeed, the same thing happened for – it was so classy, his teams, when they played, so elegant. And it was fun. It was really fun.
Bill Walton, Kareem. Let's go back to listen to a soundbite together with Kareem about, and I just would love to pick your brain of what do you think about when you hear this soundbite.
There was something I found out about Coach toward the end of his life that I hadn't known, that really shocked me, and it really is an indication of what his character was about. While Coach was coaching at Indiana State, his teams did very well. They were invited to the NAIA tournament, and the NAIA tournament was held in Kansas City. Coach got a call and said, your team did very well. We want you to come to the tournament, but you can't bring the black ball player that's on your team. And Coach Wooden told the guy, well, look, you know, we've gone through the whole season together. I'm not going to do that because we're going to stay together to the end of the season. So thank you for the invitation. And Coach hung up on him and didn't go to the tournament.
So it's this history that he has, the unspoken word. When you were with him in his presence, what things did you notice about him? Did he walk you to the door after the interview was over? How did he greet you? Did he look you in the eye when he spoke to you? The things that go beyond the words that you beautifully put into the book. Tell us about what you sensed about Wooden when you talked to Bill Walton and Kareem, or anybody who wanted to make a comment about him to write the books that you did, the unspoken words of John Wooden.
Well, he did not suffer fools gladly. He did not miss a trick. He knew everything that was going on. In a conversation, he was very astute and well-read and knowledgeable about politics and sports, etc. But he was just basically very calm demeanor, never spoke a word that was ungrammatical. Mm. And he had he loved poetry, had a graduate degree in poetry as well. Getting back to the issue about hearing Kareem talk about Indiana State Teachers College at the time, the fellow's name was Patterson, as I recollect. And yes, he did get to play on the second time around. But there's a story that goes on with that, namely that they were in a restaurant and they weren't going to serve him. And Wooden said, okay, we're out of here. And everybody got up and walked out, and that helped solidify the team. One other thing about race relations, it's not widely known that how Wooden did not see color. And in the early years, Westwood was segregated. He would get some of the black athletes into typically the ZBT, the Jewish fraternity, to live, and would take that upon himself. And another thing is that in the early 60s, when Kentucky, for example, was playing all-white teams, Coach, along with other Pac-8 coaches, said, that's it, we're not playing those guys. Mm-hmm. And they forced them to integrate.
Wow. Let's take a call. Solomon in Lake Balboa, you're on with Dr. Clapper and Neville Johnson.
Oh, thanks, guys. Great show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I read one of your books, sir, and phenomenal job. A couple of things. You made me realize here today that Coach Wooden and Kareem were really two peas in a pod, because they were both not just so gifted physically. I mean, Kareem gifted physically, and Coach, you know, as a coach, but they were brilliant. They were brilliant people. And, Kareem, his jazz collection, he's a writer, he's a producer, he's so well-spoken. These were great people. And I also wanted to share with you, at 96, Coach was asked about his father, the three sets of the set of threes that he was always reminded about. I wanted to share that real quick, if you don't mind. And I think the first one was never lie, never cheat, never steal. That was the first one. Second one was don't whine, don't complain, don't make excuses. And the third one was he believed you should do your best. And if the results were unsatisfactory, keep quiet about it and work harder next time. Mm. And then he told his interviewer, he said, try it.
That's great, Solomon. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for the kind words. Appreciate it. What do you think of that, Neville? That
well, his
dad was the inspiration for what he
became. No, his dad was a very powerful force in his life. Interestingly, his father had been a farmer, and the farm failed. And the father became a masseuse at the local sanitarium, and that's what he did for the rest of his life. But he was just a wonderful, honorable guy. All three, I guess there's either three, I don't know, I think there's three, I think he had three brothers. They all became teachers.
Wow. All right. We have time for another segment? Okay, we'll keep going. Neville, speaking to John Wooden as a lawyer, what did you take away from it in your own life, your own career, the lessons that the rest of us can take away as a surgeon, as a lawyer, about how to live your life?
You can accomplish anything you want if you sit down and go for it and learn the basics. Fred, I forget his name, but he went to Harvard Law School. I remember interviewing him, and he said, Kenny Heitz, that's his name. He said, we came from a lot of different backgrounds. Some of the guys came from the ghetto. I came from a well-to-do family. We didn't necessarily socialize off the court. But you put any of us together from any year, we know exactly what to do. And so it's all about, in any sport or discipline, fundamentals. You got to know what you're doing and stay on top of it all the time. And that's what Wooden was doing, always improving at all times in every particular area.
Ever visit any of his players in prison?
Well, he wasn't a player. It was Bob Haldeman, who had been the chief of staff for Richard Nixon, went to prison. And Haldeman had been a fundraiser for Pauley Pavilion. And I heard that he had gone to visit Haldeman. Well, Haldeman, was happy to talk to me and say, it was so wonderful to have this person come and see me. And I asked Wooden, why did you go see him? He said, well, he's a good man. He paid his price, and he's my friend. And he went twice.
That's incredible.
And I want to say Haldeman was like one of the most reviled guys in the country at the time.
Ian Ehrlichman, exactly. Neville, thanks so much for spending time with us and giving us the insight. The books are fantastic, and we really appreciate you spending time with us
today.
Well,
thank you, and I'm very impressed with your show and the sound bites that you have found. You make it very entertaining and informative.
Well, thanks so much, Neville. Coming from you, it's high praise. The great Steve Paulette helped me put it together, like he does each and every Saturday. Coming up next, we'll tell some stories. The number is 877-710-ESPN, The Power of Words, in your life, my life, and the life of John Wooden and JFK.